Thank you. Good evening. Merry Christmas. For all who are able, would you please stand and join me in the call to worship found in the evening bulletin. We gather this night to celebrate the Savior's birth.
O come, all ye faithful.
We gather as the Holy Family gathered in Bethlehem.
O come, all ye faithful.
We gather as the shepherds came from the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night.
O come, all ye faithful.
We gather to celebrate as faithful Christian saints have done for centuries.
O come, all ye faithful.
We gather with people around the world to worship the newborn King.
Come.
Let us, the faithful ones, worship our God. Please join with me in the prayer of adoration and confession. We complain, we grouse, we grumble about the trappings of the season, God of glory. We fail to seize this opportunity to testify to the truth of the living word. May we be witnesses to your light through the manner of our living and through our presence in worship and prayer this day, in our celebrations, in our joy, in our giving, May our hearts turn away from the darkness of sin and toward the light that shines and cannot be overcome. Hallelujah. Christ is born. Hallelujah. Jesus is among us. Gratefully we turn from the distractions and toward you. May every word of ours, every hymn we sing, every greeting we share, give glory and honor to your name. Amen.
During the four Sundays of Advent, we took time every time during each service week to light a different candle for hope, love, peace, and joy. And so tonight, we light the Christ candle, hearing these words from Isaiah. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, a light that will shine on all who live in the land where death casts its shadow. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and these will be his royal titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's join together in singing Joy to the World.
Scripture reading for this Christmas Eve night comes from the major prophets of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied exaltation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great will be his authority, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The second scripture for this evening, it comes from the letters of Paul, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
I was in the choir, Dobin, you'd have had me up there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I thought so.
Because of my knees, I'm not standing that long. So, our gospel text for tonight is the familiar one from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. It is the story that we hear those first 10 verses about the birth of Jesus. So here are these familiar words of how Luke describes it for us tonight. In those days, A decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration, and it was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and was expecting a child. Now, while they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. And to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth," or swaddling cloths in one of the versions, "and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and together they said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words, pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. A child's Christmas is one thing, and a faith Christmas is another. Both are good. Both are needed. A child's Christmas starts in the present and works backwards. And it starts with the seasonal music, the dreams of Santa, the gift giving, the gift receiving, family activities, food, fun. All that wraps up with that. And I think part of it is as adults or parents or grandparents, we're trying to give our children what we had. It's those traditions and memories of what a children's Christmas is. And at some point, many families will make at least a brief connection between the child's Christmas and the faith stories that we hear in the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. It could be a Christmas pageant. It could be church on Christmas Eve. It could be saying grace at the family meal or prayers at bed at night. Or maybe you go and assist the less fortunate and you work in a soup kitchen or a food pantry. Somehow that you sort of bridge that gap. But it's hard sometimes for us to break through that noise of what society is telling us, the commercial noise of exploiting the season of Christmas. And it can be done if you look across it as an all-year-long kind of project of how we understand what a faith Christmas is. A faith Christmas, by contrast, starts in the past, and it works itself forward. And it starts in naming the context into which Jesus is born. And that's sort of what we hear in the text for today. And it starts with the prophetic announcement of what is to be. and the kind of things that Jesus grew up hearing in the synagogue, the readings that were done when they went to church. And so there's this thing about God bringing light to the darkness, the verbiage we hear, the stuff we heard in Isaiah. Light in the darkness, to rescue God's beloved people, to lead them home from exile, to stand against justice and warfare, to be present to others and humanity in different ways. And so that's what we hear. And Isaiah lived hundreds of years before Jesus, so these are prophetic words. And he was what we call in Scripture a herald of bringing the good news. He's telling people ahead of time, this is what's going to happen. And so a faith Christmas means we sort of do look at first century life of where Jesus was living and understand what was going on, the context of that world. It's the Roman Empire. It's cruel oppressors with, you know, the kingdoms. It's a religious cult that sort of runs the world with how it functions in that time and age. People are trapped in their ancient traditional roles. And, you know, and God is seen sometimes more than a tribal champion. God will come and save us all. Yet they're still waiting for the Messiah to come. And so a lot of things when we read in text, if you read into it, you see that they're really dealing with how God is going to respond to these political and ethical issues, even though we don't always address them, but they're listed there in text. If we tweak those out, they wouldn't be the sweet words we hear when we sing the carols that we sing. We usually pick out, you know, what we want. But this is what's happening here is this: God is coming into a world and he's bringing a revolutionary story. And Jesus comes into the world sort of in the same way that I think we high-end baby boomers came. Everything we touched, we changed. Everything Jesus touched, changed. You know, and most of the story we remember is when he came into the temple and upended the tables. There are those times when he was changing. That's a real drastic illustration. But what happens is people were afraid. There's a text, and I'm choosing not to read it this year in the lectionary, but there is a text that follows today, and it's when Herod is scared, and so he orders the slaughter of all the children because he's afraid of what would happen. And so things change, and they try to change the story. So we have two points in this faith Christmas. There's a prophetic and there's a contemporary, is that what happens. And what is for us, it is who is Jesus to God and who is Jesus to us? That's why we're here. Who is Jesus to you in this moment? So do we understand that Jesus is asking us not just to show up on a Sunday or a Christmas Eve, but that we are to be kind to the cashier at the grocery store, if you go to the grocery store, to be kind to people that you don't really know or like? Do you help other people? Are you kind to your neighbors and your friends and all those things? How do we take care of others and to deal with them? How do we understand what's going on in the world? And can we make a change? If we can't make a change up here in the global or national, can I make a change in my world? And that's what Jesus is asking us to do. How do you be kind? How do you be courteous? How do you pray for others? How do you take care of each other? So when you have these two Christmases, we have this faith and this children's Christmas, we have to balance that somehow so they can coexist. My Aunt Edna, who's deceased, would always say, "Christmas is for the children, Marty." That's what you and I yearn for. We want it to be so simple and so easy and come up on tomorrow morning and come under the tree and find my gift. And that's what we want. But as we grow older, we understand that's important and we relish in that moment, but there's other things. That's where the faith piece comes in, to understand what it is to be a Christian. But we want the magic and the sparkle. Well, there is the magic and the sparkle. When Vicki was reading a variation of the birth narrative at the children's story, and what I just read to you from Luke 2, there is this sparkle because God has sent a child, an infant, into the world. And we celebrate that this personage is God incarnate, present with us here. not 2,000 years ago, but now. And that Spirit still moves among us. And so we have to continue to remember that we balance this yearning we have for this children's Christmas and enjoy all that, but also to enjoy the presence of Christ and understand how that gets us with us. Something has happened. So we understand what the shepherds, they go out like the shepherds and share the good news. So when we leave this day, a lot of us will be tied up. Maybe you're going to do family stuff after service today. Maybe you're going to wait till tomorrow morning. And maybe like our family's going to do, it won't be till Saturday, because that's when we can all get together. But whenever you do that, remember what I've been saying most Sundays here in the last three or four Sundays, the reason for the season, to be reminded that we are here because of what we celebrate tonight. May God bless us, bless you, as we continue to share the good news. Amen. I'm going to ask you to sing together, Away in the Manger, number 203. As we come to God in prayer, I will offer a prayer that offers thanks for this night and for what this season is about. As I shared this past Sunday, it is about also we pray for the world, our country, ourselves, and I was mentioning that there are services that are called the Blue Christmas, that are for people who have lost a loved one, and this might be the first Christmas they've dealt without that person. And that sometimes the holidays that are joyous for us are not always joyous for others. And so people are mourning. I found out yesterday, that I'm going to do another funeral next Saturday, which will be the fourth funeral I've done in the season of Advent and Christmas. And these are people that I know. And so there is this sadness piece that goes, my stool's moving. There's a sadness piece that goes with the celebration of Christmas. But we're here, and in the center of it is our faith. And so as we do on Sunday morning, I'm going to ask you, we do a little centering as we come to prayer. So I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and then let it out as we center. Take a deep breath. Let it out. Breathe in, God. Let it out. Almighty God, you have caused this holy night. And this night sings with the brightness of the true light. And we have gathered to praise you for the mystery of love divine, all loves excelling. And we join our voices as we sing, to glory be to God on high, and thank you for the gift. We praise you for the gift of Christ, Son of God, and yet our brother who was born of Mary. The eternal word that we understand he brought to us, but yet in this moment he's a speechless child. He was clothed in glory, and yet this evening we heard the story that he's still wrapped in swaddling or bands of cloth. He is the Lord of lords, and yet he's laid in a manger. And he's strong in his weakness, and he comes with might to save us. So we also remember this night the shepherds. The message came to them as they were faithfully tending their flocks. They were being faithful, so allow us to continue to be faithful in the work we do day by day. But when we're challenged by what God coming to us, we can share that good news. So as we pray this night, O God, we pray for those who may not have work, for those who are suffering from want, hunger, shelter, medical care. We pray for those who are ill. We pray for those who are lonely or may feel alone. We pray for those who feel neglected in this world. So we ask that you touch each of those individuals and situations with your spirit. Let them know they are not alone. May the angels come to them to bring them the good tidings, the glad tidings of one who is born this night. So as we remember this night, O God, we come before you, thankful for the gifts that you have given to us, the gift of love, the gift of grace, the gift of salvation, the gift of Jesus Christ. So we offer this prayer in his name with a prayer that he has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
God's name. Bring an offering as you come into God's courts. Let your giving say to the world, Christ has come. God reigns among us. We have been saved from our iniquity to serve wherever there is need. The ushers may come forward.
Yeah.
Please join with me in our prayer of dedication. Loving God, we thank you for providing for our every spiritual need in the birth of Jesus Christ the Savior. We thank you for the gift of salvation that you have brought to us through his birth, life, death, and resurrection. Your gifts lead us to provide and support the ministry of salvation and reconciliation through Christ's presence. We bring before you this night our offerings of time, talent, and treasure. May the celebration of Jesus' birth empower in us a renewed desire to share the gifts that we have been given, so that we may glorify you and advance your kingdom. We ask these things in the name of our newborn King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why are you still standing? Will you join with me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed? The words are in our bulletin. Together we affirm. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Almighty God, at this blessed Christmas feast, we give you thanks and praise. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You made us in your image, and though we all have sinned and fallen short of your glory, you loved the world so much, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. As Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem and there found no room, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected. As in the poverty of a stable, Jesus was born, so from suffering and death, you raised him to bring us life. Truly holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus. as your word became flesh, born of woman, on that night long ago. So he offered himself up for us. He took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, O God, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer in union with Christ's sacrifice for us as a living and holy surrender of ourselves. Send the power of your Holy Spirit on us and upon these gifts, that in the breaking of the bread, the drinking of the cup, we may know the presence of the living Christ, be one body in him, cleansed by his blood, faithfully serve him in this world, and look forward to his coming in final victory. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. These are the gifts of God. For the people of God, all things are now ready. You may be seated. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat. Thank you. This cup is the new covenant given to us by Jesus Christ that we might have forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. So, my friends, take and drink.
Let us stand and give God thanks for this Christmas Eve meal. We give you thanks, O God, that you may have come to us through Jesus Christ, both in the midst of time and history in the city of Bethlehem, and in the timeless presence of Christ's Spirit as we receive the gifts of bread and cup. Send us out into the world rejoicing, ready to share your light with the people we meet through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen.
As soon as Vicki and I take care of getting these elements covered, let me do a little instruction. We're going to do the candle lighting ceremony where we sing Silent Night. Please do not dip a lit candle to an unlit candle. I don't want to hear the custodial staff complaining to me about the wax on the pews. That's what will happen if you tilt the lit candle. So if you do that, and then when we do that, the words printed, we have three verses that we will sing together at that point in time. I will say another thing. My first communion service I ever did was before I was ordained the same day. I also did the cup before the bread that day as well. For those of you who watched me hand out the wrong plates first tonight. And I said, Jesus doesn't care what order we take them in, okay?
Thank you.
Tonight we gathered in this place to remember the reason for this season, to celebrate the gift of Jesus Christ into this world as he was birthed in the form of a human so that God could understand what it was to be us. And so the light that we share is the light that goes out into the world. You know, and it's almost like if you've been to Mammoth Cave or any place where they flare or match up in the dark, it's the same thing here, that we can see one another because of the light. So share the good news with those who need to hear it. Let them know why you're here and upon what your faith is grounded. So until we meet again, let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.